Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you The Catholic Doctors, discussing medicine in light of church teaching. And now, The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek.
Welcome to The Catholic Doctor Show. This is a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. This is Dr. Will Turek. Dr. Michael Parker is north of us delivering babies for his job up north. So he is not with us. And so as frequent listeners to our show have heard, sometimes we get off the topical stuff and the ethical stuff and the medicine and everything, and we dive into a story and kind of a journey home, sort of Marcus Grodi kind of thing. We get a Catholic doctor, Catholic nurse involved with our show who has a particular story that is interesting and captivating and hopefully edifying, you know, because the fact is that all of us who are involved with the Catholic doctors, whether you're listeners or me and Mike, we like to hear a good story about people who are living their faith and are doing the work that they do, and they sanctify it every day with their faith. And so this is our little journey home kind of thing. And so we hope you enjoy it. And I'd like to introduce Dr. Lucy Laperna to our show, who is now sitting opposite me without my compadre, Dr. Parker. So welcome to the Catholic Doctor Show, Lucy.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I was reading, if some of you have get the newsletter from St. Gabriel Radio, I believe it's quarterly, Dr. Laperna's story appeared in there, and it's entitled The Divine Physician Heals Local Doctor. And so I read this with interest, and I thought, you know, she's been on our show before and, you know, talked about medical stuff, you know, hard science and all that sort of thing. And I thought to myself, doggone it, we didn't have her on for her reversion story, her light bulb story. So that's why I thought, I called her on the phone and I said, Lucy, you got to come on and do this. And you gratefully accepted.
And here I am.
And here you are. So, you know, in reading this story, you know, it seems to me that you know, you've been a Catholic all your life.
All my life.
Yeah. And
I'm the youngest of an Italian Catholic family.
Uh-huh. Yep. You can't get away from Catholicism.
You know, the confession on Saturdays, mm-hmm. the mass with the family every Sunday, mm-hmm. and holy days never missed.
Yep. The meal of the fishes on Christmas
yeah.
Eve.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Seven of them.
Seven fishes.
Lots of pizza.
See, I've said this before on this show, you know, Cleveland, you're from Warren, right?
I'm from Warren, uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, basically a suburb of Cleveland. You know, I grew up with lots and lots of ethnic folks, but I had Italians to the left of me and Italians to the right of me, and Northern Italians on one side, Southern Italians and Sicilians on the other side. So I was always told by one of my surrogate mothers, Monteleone, who said, Betty Monteleone, she'd tell me, she says, you're Polish by birth, but you're Italian by food.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. It's the best.
Yeah. So I think there's somewhere in there, and Betty's hopefully in purgatory, if not in heaven. She's somewhere looking at me and saying, you know, having these Italians on your show is a good thing. Okay. So you're raised in a good Catholic Italian family,
good
right?
Catholic Italian family, Catholic school all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Michigan State University, completely
Spartan.
Non-Catholic.
Spartan.
But I am a Spartan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, I had an Irish Catholic roommate.
Okay.
I roomed blind. And interestingly enough, as Providence may have it, she attended St. Patrick's Church in Columbus, Ohio, when she was growing up with her
wow.
grandmother who lived here. So when we reconnected a couple years ago, I said, guess where I go to Mass? And she couldn't believe it. But at any rate, you know, that's when you kind of fall off. A lot of people, that's when they fall off, right?
Yep.
I'm a good price to say, oh, I'm a good person. You know,
yeah. Yeah.
God knows I'm good.
Yeah, he loves
me
the
way
I am.
I don't really need to be in a pew on Sunday, do I?
Yeah.
So, confession. You know, who really wants to go to confession?
It's so painful, isn't it?
Yes. So, you know, I lived probably 20 years like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that how long that was? But, you know, all through college, then through medical school, then through residency and fellowship, until I had my children.
Isn't that life-changing for a lot of people?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, for sure. So, you know, you're just so lukewarm. You just go through the motions. And you know, my daughter was born and she baptized her. And it was never really a complete departure from the faith. It was just not a true relationship.
Yeah.
I didn't really need God unless I needed something.
Right. Yeah.
Right. I'm not going to bother him. He doesn't care about what I'm doing today.
Little things didn't really, you know, bring you back.
Exactly. So, you know, it wasn't until you're faced with me, and I think I'm not uncommon, and that's one of the reasons why I was happy to give my story for that article, is because I think it's probably a very common story.
It is.
You know, I mean, people, until they're really bottom, you know, so stressed out. Oh, my gosh, I've got three kids. I work full time, three kids. And, you know, the world is so crazy right now. You know, the secular world there's just this spiritual bombardment of your children.
Yeah.
You can't even turn on the news without something that's offensive, right?
Indeed.
Not only in the stories, but then in the commercials you have to watch out for.
Yeah.
You know, the TV shows and just so much. And, you know, you can't put them in a bubble, right? Because this is the world we're living in.
Right.
So you have to be able to navigate the world and not lose your soul.
Right.
And how do you do that if you don't have a mother or a father or somebody in your household, you know, that wants God to be part of your everyday life.
So in reading your story, there was somebody like that in your life.
Yes.
Yeah. Who was that?
My father was a very powerful influence in my life. And, you know, God rest his soul. And, you know, we want him to be in heaven, right?
We hope so.
And he was a devout, very devout man. As a matter of fact, he was this close to becoming a priest. I wouldn't be sitting here today if he had become a priest. But it was between marrying my mother or committing his life to Christ and the priesthood, and he decided to marry my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever they'd argue, he did a silent retreat to figure out what God wanted. You know, what does God want me to do?
And, like a good seminarian.
Oh, yeah. And so he came back, and apparently he was all, you know, disheveled and looked pathetic. I only said yes because I felt bad for you, you know. But at any rate, no, he was. He was a beautiful man and grew up in the Depression, and his mother was the influence in his life, who, you know, she went to Mass on a regular basis, not his father so much, but she did.
Mm-hmm.
She said the rosary, and he learned how to say the rosary, graduated from the University of Notre Dame before he went to into the Navy as part of World War II. Thankfully, didn't see any action, but, you know, Our Lady was a huge influence in his spiritual development and his mother and Our Lady, his earth mother and his spiritual mother. And just a great man. And, you know, all families have hardships, right, and problems. And he just really showed me personally just how he struggled.
Yeah.
And, you know, he turned to prayer. He always, that's what he did. Sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. That's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. Because that's what we should all be doing. When things are hard, when things are really difficult, that's what we should be doing. And it sounds to me like as a rock of your family, He showed you what Christ looked like.
Yep, he did. I mean, he sacrificed everything for us. Yeah. And he was on his knees every night.
Yeah.
We saw that.
He showed you what a man of God looks like. Yep. And so it gave you that, regardless of what you went through in college and medical school and all the trappings that come with that and the temptations, because I remember those. But you knew what Christ looked like and how he acted and how he conducted himself. And that's truly the beauty of this story. You know, God bless your father.
Oh, well, he was a great man.
So, all right, now here we are. Michigan State, I'm sure, Big Ten school, lots of fun, parties, sorority, I assume.
No, okay. I didn't do that. I was independent, but okay. I had lots of friends in sororities, and I was kind of a prudish little square, right? I got to college and saw lots of crazy things, and I really, believe it or not, thanks be to God, didn't participate too heavily, you know.
Okay, good.
So that's a good thing. I didn't fry my brain on. I needed it. It was real. Just going through the motions, you know, just right. Studying and focusing on that, and not much on anything else. And it was very, you know, becomes very self. You're just very self-absorbed. I was.
Yeah.
I mean,
we all are. That age.
You know, what do you worry about? Oh well, you know, how do I look today? You know, what next exam do I have?
Right.
You know, what next term paper do I have? And yep. And not much else.
Yep. No. And that's the life of a college student. I have two college, I have one who's graduating, but I have two in college right now. And they're so self-absorbed that they can't see their, you know, anything past that. So
absolutely. And discerning things wasn't even on my radar screen.
Discernment.
Discern. You know, I mean, I knew my path, right? I thought I knew my path. I think that probably in retrospect, the Holy Spirit did show me my path.
Of course.
Without me thinking that I was discerning.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the Holy Spirit let you think it was your idea, right?
Exactly. That's exactly it. Right. Because I really can't imagine not doing what I do. I really do love what I do.
But you became a doctor, I assume, at the influence of your father.
Yes.
But you know,
I truly do love it. I mean, I really do love what I do.
Yeah.
I mean, where else can you can do everything for, you know, you can talk to somebody about their faith, your faith, maybe not supposed to anymore, but I do. you know, and help them heal in not just a physical way.
Exactly.
And you know, maybe plant a seed where they can take it and work with it on their own.
Yeah. So, you know, we're in college, we're self-absorbed, we're, you know, kind of interested in our own stuff, you know, what the next exam or paper or party or whatever it is that's going on, right? I mean, we've all been there. So your plan was to go to medical school. Mm-hmm. That was from the get-go, it sounds like.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
grade school.
Pull to pull, you went for, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So then you go to Chicago College of Osteopathic Medicine. Where's God there? Was he there?
Oh, he wasn't there at all.
He wasn't there at all. I mean.
No. In fact, I was in a relationship with a Jewish man for a long time.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, you know, the only time that God really reared his head there was when I was asked to convert.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I knew I wasn't going to do
Jewish Italians are interesting.
That I knew was not, you know, and of course this whole thing didn't make my father happy at all.
Ah,
right.
Okay.
And so for the first time in my life, you know, I was arguing with my
you
father.
You displeased your
I
father.
Admired so much.
Yeah.
You know.
How did that feel?
Weird.
Yeah.
It was weird, but he was right.
Now.
So, yeah, right. So I married an Italian Catholic, so. No, so that was the only time that I really had to think, well, do I believe what I believe in?
Yeah. Who is Jesus?
Do I really believe this? Or am I just Catholic because I was, you know, I'm a cradle Catholic, so I got the stamp.
You're Catholic, you're Italian, it's all interwoven.
Right, it's all part of the picture.
Yeah.
You know, and so again, you know, I think that's another, in my journey, right, it's through these kinds of things that you look back and you think, maybe that was another providential thing to bring to light. You know, maybe your faith really does matter to you.
So was that, I mean, that was the linchpin that you said, okay.
Oh, yeah. No, not
you know, you want me to be Jewish and I can't give up Christ.
Exactly. No, I wouldn't do it.
I said,
no, I'm not doing that.
Wow. That's profound. I mean, that.
It didn't feel profound at the time, but maybe it was. Oh. I mean, when I said no, I mean, I really meant it. No, I don't. You're wrong.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I mean.
Respectfully, you're wrong.
I mean, that ended the relationship, apparently.
Yep.
Yeah. Then that must have been tough. Because you had to realize your spiritual groundings.
I guess so, yes.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about that in a long time, but yeah.
Well, it's beautiful. I mean, those are those moments where we get to a fork in the road and we're like, okay, what do you really believe? Who do you say that I am? Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, that Caesarea Philippi moment, you know? I mean, and so that's so all right, this is medical school. This is obviously very, you know, self-indulgent, self-absorbed time. You know, I remember well. And so you get into residency and fellowship, and God's still pretty low on the priority list.
Yep, pretty low.
You get married somewhere in there, yes?
Yep, okay. Right after I finish my fellowship.
Start having children and
that's right.
The family life.
And the family life. And it really was that. I mean, you know, my husband and I, we got married in Carmel, California.
Oh, beautiful.
And our, you know, we said a quick prayer, right? Okay. If this is meant to be, you know, we asked Junipero Serra, who was just canonized.
Right. Saint Junipero Serra. Yeah.
We asked him to bless our marriage.
Okay.
And keep us together. Mm-hmm. And that we would name our children Serra. So my mm-hmm. daughter is Serra.
Mm-hmm.
Spelled his
sure.
name. And then Michael Joseph. I couldn't do the Junipero part, but we did Michael Joseph, which was what he was named at birth. But
Spanish.
And then Rocco's our youngest, so he was just a rock. So
sure.
Anyways, you know, bringing them to Mass, and you know, how do you bring a child to Mass? Right?
Yeah. Well,
they know when you're going through the motions, right? They know that. They see right through it.
They do. They really do.
Yeah. And, you know, and again, so that was a huge part of it. And then just, you know, just life stressors and, mm-hmm. and just all of the things just really come crashing in on you at some point. Yeah. You just got to rise up. And, you know, maybe it's the fact that my father is up there praying for me, right? And all of his children,
sure.
You know? And maybe, you know, bonk me over the head to wake up. Okay, Lucy, you got some stuff to do.
Grace. I'm just going to interrupt you now. You're listening to the Catholic Doctor Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. We are talking, this is Dr. Will Turek. We are talking with Dr. Lucy Laperna about her journey, kind of reversion back to the Catholic Church. Now, did you feel indicted by going through the motions? Did you kind of have that? I mean, I remember the rosary beads of my grandmother banging against the pew every, you know, day. And that was what indicted me to get more serious about my faith. So what did that feel like when you went into the church and you're trying to get your kids? Oh, well, here's the prayers and this is how we do this. And Jesus is up there. Did it feel, I don't know, like the suit didn't fit?
No, I mean, I would say no. I feel like it was forever ago. I mean, I feel like this was all a lifetime ago, and
right.
I know it wasn't. And I don't know. It wasn't. Let me say this: it's just been kind of this journey back, mm-hmm. right?
Sure.
You know, you said the Marcus Grode, I journey home. When
right.
I see those segments, I get that.
Yeah.
Because it is a journey home.
Yeah.
Because you walk so far away.
Right.
And then you're relearning things
mm-hmm.
and you're seeing things through a new set of glasses.
Sure.
Right. you know, like I used to say the rosary with my dad, and mm-hmm. it was just a rambling on of the Hail Marys,
right.
just the words, right? Yeah. And not really contemplating or meditating on the mysteries. But once you start to say the rosary, and that was really probably the biggest thing that I would say.
The rosary?
It was the rosary, because I shut my radio off. No offense, but I shut my radio off. I just, you know, it was a time of intense stress, yeah. personal, professional.
Sure.
I needed to pray.
Yeah.
And it really was the rosary that got me back, you know, and it still continues to.
You're right.
You know, I like my car. I just.
Well, you called it your monastery.
It is my monastery. It really is. I'm like, oh, I have a half an hour trip somewhere. Oh, good. I get in the car. So I've had so many of these moments when I'm in my car saying my rosary,
mm-hmm.
where I'll have just a good solid meditation.
Yeah.
You know, I think, oh my gosh, you know, I never thought of that before.
And doesn't it feel good?
Oh, I love it.
I mean, it's kind of weird. In the last, I went through the baptism in the spirit, charismatic baptism in the spirit, maybe 10, 15 years ago. And I threw it on the shelf for a long time. And I just have now started to do my work, my prayer language. And when I'm really in the spirit, it really, really feels good. And it feels mm-hmm. good in the soul. It's mm-hmm. not just, you know, an outward happiness. It's a good feeling in the soul. And it sounds like that's what the rosary is for you.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe so. I love it, you know, yeah. because, and truth be told, you know, there's many times when I'm saying it that I'm speeding or I'm distracted, right?
Sure.
But there's enough of those other times.
That you're not.
That I'm not. And I'm so grateful that I have Our Lady.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so grateful that she's there for us.
Yeah. And it sounds to me like your dad is praying that rosary with you.
Oh, probably.
I ask my mother and I say, pray it with me.
I come along. I have this new thing that I've started about 3 months ago called My Holy Alliance.
Yeah.
So I list all of the patron saints of my family members, my dad, of course, my relatives, uh-huh. friends that I've known, and all of our guardian angels. So if anybody wants to use that little tip, so yeah. my whole family's guardian angels, and I invite them to pray with me. When I pray today, I want you there with me.
Yeah.
And there are times when I think, they're really praying with me, you know, and I'm sure that they are.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So how does this do for you? I mean, it sounds like it was kind of a flowering, you know, one little sprig out and then it kind of bloomed.
I would say so, yeah.
What would you say today, the difference between your practice today versus when you were doing the world? What did that look like? Or how does that compare?
I mean, I think it brings a level of compassion into your practice that you wouldn't ordinarily have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also older. Right, so you know.
Oh, see, you're just no. Don't minimize.
But I feel bad for people who are suffering and they want to get out completely.
Mm-hmm.
Right, they want zero pain. They don't want to accept any amount of suffering and to look at somebody who has a chronic vascular condition and say, I'm sorry, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't a deadly illness, but it's a disease state. When you have vascular problems, it doesn't go away.
Yeah. It's with you
forever.
You
know, it's with you.
Yeah.
And some people just have a real hard time with that, and others, you know, and it's hard to see somebody have a hard time with that because they really... they feel so defeated and discouraged, and they're the hardest people to get to.
Yeah.
Right. So you just try to, I don't know.
Well, it sounds like you're trying to get them to a point where they accept their suffering and to allow them to use that suffering in a better way.
Well, I don't know if I achieved that. That's a hard thing to tell somebody. Hey, just, you know, more or less.
Of course.
Right. So, but I just, the compassion I have for people who just you can see that they don't have, they don't have it.
Yeah.
And that, and I feel really badly for them, right? Yeah. And whereas you could see other people who suffer a great deal, but they have Christ in their life. And yeah. so their suffering, it's real.
Yeah.
But it's you know, that united, it's united with Christ's.
Right.
And they benefit from that. And yeah, everybody around them benefits from that.
Filling up what's lacking in the sufferings of Christ. Yeah. No, that's absolutely true. And it sounds to me like this is a process you're going through, you know, that is, you know, your journey is just continuing to expand and continuing to fill your life with joy. I can hear it in your voice.
Oh, thank you. It really is. I mean, it's, there's so much that you can contemplate, right? Yeah. You could contemplate constantly.
Yeah.
Right? Who has time for work? No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, throughout the day, to just have moments, you know, where you can talk to Christ, talk to God, talk to Mary, talk to your saints, whatever, just yeah. little breakaways.
That's beautiful. Well, Lucy, thank you for being on the Catholic Doctor Show. We really appreciate it. And your story is lovely. And I really appreciate your witness.
Well, thank you so much. If it helps one person, then great.
It will. It will. I promise you. You've been listening to the Catholic Doctor Show, production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. For Dr. Parker, my compatriot, we hope your week is happy, healthy, and holy. God bless.
The Catholic Doctors is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of the Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek are available at stgabrielradio.com. Then he, so-